Hi everybody, welcome back to the Microsoft Virtual Academy on Application Virtualization, our deep dive with myself, Ronnie Dockery.
And I'm Steve Thomas. Good to see you again, Ronnie.
Likewise, Steve. So this is module 3, so we're going to be talking about client management in this module.
Yes, in our first module we talked about preparation and then dived into server features and roles in our second module. In this module we're going to focus on client management. And now client management involves us controlling various aspects of the AppV client in terms of not just the applications, but the user experience, the methodology, the streaming locations. All of that is going to be crucial into determining the importance of, variables that will need to be set to ensure that this actually falls in line with the application experience that you want your users to have. And at the same time, align with whatever policies that you have in place within your organization. Now, client configuration management is very flexible in AppV5. We also took great pains to ensure that everything is consistent across all the methods of client configuration management, Ronnie. We didn't want to have scenarios where, we wanted to minimize as much as possible scenarios where certain things can only be done like through installation or through PowerShell or through group policy. We've done our best. 99% of the configuration can be done in not only just PowerShell but also through group policy. So we wanted to offer that flexibility to our admins out there as well. Now, the three big areas in which you can control the basics of client configuration management are the installer switches, in which you actually supply this configuration upon deployment of the AppV client, where you take the AppV client, package it for like Config Manager or an electronic software distribution center or system, and then you actually push out the client with the predetermined variables. The thing is, This particular method works great in all or nothing scenarios where everybody's going to have the exact same configuration. The other options are usually preferred because they allow you to have flexibility for various locations in which you might want to have some locations pointing to specific servers. You might want to have some locations using shared content store or some other types of computers. For example, laptops you might want streamed to disk, but for VDI, obviously you're going to want to use shared content store. You can either do this through PowerShell and even possibly script this. A lot of our customers love PowerShell because they can bake an image for like VDI or for RDS, and they can supply the configuration as a post-configuration task by scripting the PowerShell and putting everything into one nice long PowerShell statement. And then, of course, what would configuration be without having group policy as an option, in which we can just leverage Active Directory and GPOs to actually govern the configuration of AppV. And this, of course, offers extreme flexibility because we can assign policy configuration by WMI filter, by organizational unit, by site using Active Directory site. All of these are available options to us.
So basically, it's integrating nicely with our overall management story with System Center, et cetera, for your users, et cetera.
Right. As you know, going back to in one of the previous modules where you were discussing kind of the evolution of the history, after we acquired AppV originally, when it was called SoftGrid, there was a lot of proprietary stuff that did not exactly gel well in the world of Windows. I mean, everything from like acronyms, for example, OSD files were configuration item files, but we have our own implementation of OSD in Config Manager called Operating System Deployment. So all of this stuff through the past iterations have evolved to allow us to sync this with the rest of Windows and the rest of our ecosystem in the world of Windows and the world of System Center. And AppV5 is kind of monumental because we're truly there. Everything is uniform across COM, WMI, PowerShell, GPOs, and it gels beautifully with the operating system. Now, what you decide to use is ultimately going to boil down to whatever the preferences are of the administrators and what aligns with organizations. Now, the PowerShell management is done through the get and set at the client configuration commandlets, and the GPO configuration requires the download and use of an ADMX file that extends the group policy management and editor to allow you to control these at the client parameters. And there are several reasons why you would want to use each and every one of them. And that's ultimately going to depend on situation, user base, and again, sometimes even administrative preference. So let's look at PowerShell and policies a little bit up close. The first thing I want to look at is PowerShell and how we actually control and manage the at-the client configuration through PowerShell. Now, before I go through this, I also want to reiterate that everything we're adjusting here is ultimately a registry setting. Mm-hmm. And just to speak about the elephant in the room, can I manually adjust these registry settings? Can I use reg files? I would discourage that. I would encourage that you stick to primarily PowerShell or group policies or installation switches to control the configuration rather than editing the registry directly, if possible. Now, there may be some circumstances where you may need to go in and actually edit the registry directly, but I just want to reiterate that it's not necessarily it's not really needed. And PowerShell is so much more flexible and so much more powerful, and no pun intended, to actually control this information. And it all boils down to two simple commandlets: get at the client configuration, and then of course if I wanted to change any of these variables, I could actually use the set at the client configuration. Oops. Now, of course, as I set the configuration, you'll see I have all of these options available as a setting.
And is there kind of a canned version that you'd give people, like a recommended set of settings here, or does it vary a lot between the different customers that you meet, Steve?
That's a good question, Ronnie. The default configuration is actually 100% perfect for what I call standalone mode. And standalone mode is nice, especially for testing applications. When you're actually configuring and sequencing applications for use, obviously an important part of that is going to be testing the application to see how it actually runs virtually. And the nice thing about the AppV5 client is, as opposed to previous versions of AppV, which actually defaulted to what we called client management role, where it actually required the use of a management server, and you actually had to go in and make specific changes to have it operate in standalone mode, the default configuration of the AppV client is standalone mode. And in order to use a management server, you actually have to go in and make adjustments. So I guess the short answer to your question is, the default configuration is great for testing, mm-hmm. especially application testing. But there are many reasons why you would want to go in and make specific changes to these various configuration items. I mean, for example, the package installation route. In most cases, people are going to be happy having this within program data on the C drive. But for example, you might have environments that use non-persistent VDI, where they may want to actually have the AppV applications go to the write cache disk, which would be on a different drive. They would then redirect the package installation route to a different drive.
So there'd be guides on TechNet, and you know, we've lots of information on these configurations.
Correct. That we have guides on TechNet, and there we also have some scenario-based examples that you can look at if you follow my blog, blogs.technet.com/gladiatormsft, or if you just want basic explanations of each, TechNet is definitely the way to go.
Okay.
Package source root is very important because package source root is the default location for our content. Now, if you noticed, going back into the database, if we look, when we actually load the packages and the package information, you're going to notice that
if they can see it.
They might not be able to see this, but there's a default package URL as you import a package. And the URL is going to be controlled basically off where you selected the package when you actually added it in to the actual management system. The thing with that is that may differ depending on location. Most organizations, they will have their content store replicated to different locations using like DFSR, for example.
Around the world, yeah.
Around the world. And certain locations may, you don't want people streaming over an ocean or streaming content over a low speed link. You might want it more localized. Well, you can use the package source root to actually override the root that's actually in the database. In previous versions of AppV, we called this the application source root. Now we just call it the package source root. Autoload, for example. Some organizations don't want the background streaming to be turned on, so they will actually turn autoload to zero. A lot of applications, of course, may need to process embedded scripts. For example, the Office 2013 package. The Office 2013 package has an integrator that it lays down that allows it to integrate with things like SharePoint and OneNote and also do the proper license activation. Well, in order for this integrator to function, it has to actually be laid down through what we call an embedded script. That requires package scripts to actually be turned on. This is another common rookie mistake when people can't seem to get scripts to work. They actually have forgotten to enable the package script. Certain things like support for branch cache, if you actually want to use branch cache instead of basically default range request, if you're streaming through HTTP, that's another one. Remember how we talked about shared content store and how to switch shared content store mode on and off. It is simply a variable. That is all. Migration mode, for example, is if you're coexisting with AppV4.6, if you have the AppV4.6 client also installed here as well. Here's another gotcha that really only happens with a lot of Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 device tablets, and that's if they're using like 4G or using what we call high-cost networks. The default for this is zero. And a lot of times people can't figure out why they're not streaming their applications. And the reason is that it's because of a restriction. They're currently connected through a 4G network from their, like a wireless 4G network from their tablet.
You want to get a bill.
And we don't want them to erroneously start streaming, especially background streaming this information.
Yeah.
So we set it to zero. So that way, if you want to do this, you've got to go in and turn this on yourself.
Yeah, so it's based on feedback. A lot of these settings and the configuration will be based on feedback and experience, I suppose. Would be
exactly.
Yeah.
We also have something called the Experience Improvement Opt-in and the Enable Publishing Refresh UI. Now, Ronnie, a lot of customers have come to us and they've told us, you know, we don't really want our users to even know that we're using AppV. We don't like the little bars that come up when they're getting their applications and doing a publishing refresh. Every time you stream an application, it pulls down this progress bar. We don't want our users seeing that. And of course, I can understand why. So we offer the option to turn off the publishing refresh UI and the experience improvement opt-in. All of that stuff can be turned off. And of course, the publishing refresh UI is fairly new. That was kind of introduced in one of the service packs. And that's default to one. So that's there by default.
Great.
Many of these you won't need to go in and modify. So let's keep that in mind. And now let's talk about quickly where these are actually located in terms of group policy. Now, once you actually import the M.ADMX template, AppV is actually found in administrative templates, administrative templates, system AppV. It's hard to find at first because people are expecting it to be off the root of administrative templates, but it's actually buried a couple levels deep there. And this essentially maps according to where these are stored in the registry, but everything that you had available through PowerShell is also available as a configurable item. And one thing I want to point out is When you actually go back into PowerShell and we actually view this by group policy, you're going to see an option here. I've got my screen kind of large here, so you can't necessarily see it, but set by group policy is either going to be true or false. So for example, I'll pull this up real quick. There's a much better view here. Notice,
oh, very good, yeah.
Notice here, for each value, it tells me whether or not this has been set by group policy or not.
What does that mean? So it's either it's been a default setting or it was...
So it's it actually means that if it's actually set by PowerShell, it's still going to show up as set by group policy false. So it's not necessarily the default configuration. That's okay. A good question. It's only telling us what is being controlled by group policy and what is not.
Perfect.
So to recap, three primary ways of controlling client configuration management. Installer switches, which is kind of good in small environments, medium-sized businesses. But for more advanced, complex enterprise deployments, we have both PowerShell and group policy as primary ways of controlling the client configuration.
Thanks, Steve. That's great. So that's module two. So in the next module in our series, now at this stage, we'll talk about connection groups and packaging. So that's going to be the next module. So please do tune in. Thanks, everybody.